So, to whom is this parable addressed? Non-rhetorical pop quiz. Us is one answer. The Pharisees. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yes, that's the correct answer. Do you want to change your answer now? He says this to the Pharisees. Look, tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees were really excited about this because they thought maybe the tax collectors and sinners could know eternal life. Nope, just kidding. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. Tells them the story of the prodigal son. It's to the Pharisees, the older brother, as it were. Why? Well, they are not excited that these prostitutes and tax collectors are receiving eternal life. They're probably actually just, they don't like Jesus, they have a rivalry with him, and that's really, it's probably what's going on in the heart, but they don't want to welcome the prodigal younger brother back. They're not excited about that. This does not please Jesus. So the attitude that the older son has is actually not that great, obviously, in the story. It's not that great. His younger son had gone to dad and said, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Can I have all the money that I would have if you were dead?" Takes all the money, which is a third of the property. The older son gets two-thirds because the firstborn son gets a double share of the birthright, a fact of which my older brother is still faithful to remind me to this day. So he takes a third of his dad's estate, wastes it, squanders it. It's all gone. And so the older brother does not want to see him back. The older brother doesn't join the feast when he comes back. The older brother stands at a distance, and everyone else is partying and having a good time and rejoicing. And he's saying, "Why are you doing this for him?" What does the father say to him? "You're here with me, and whatever is mine is yours." Which is literally true at this point, because the two-thirds remaining in the estate are all his. "What, I'm with you. You're with me always. All that I have is yours." But the older brother doesn't join. His attitude, the older brother's attitude, is so different from Moses' attitude in the first reading. In the first reading, this is what God says to Moses. God says this to Moses: "Go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved." And he says to Moses, "I'm going to destroy them. Stand aside, I will destroy them and make of you a great nation." What does Moses say? Well, Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. And by the way, God isn't really disowning his people. He wouldn't do that. He's testing Moses to see if Moses will have a heart of intercession to come before God on behalf of the prodigal Israel, the prodigal younger brother, as it were. And as the older brother say, "Father, have mercy on my brother. Have mercy on your son. Have mercy on your people Israel, your people, who you brought out of the land of Egypt," Moses says to God. And God is pleased at his heart of intercession for the prodigal. That is what the Father desires to instill in each and every one of us. That we would have that same heart of intercession. That we would have that heart of service. To not just be happy when the prodigal returns, but to go out in search of the prodigal. To go out in search of those who are lost and wayward and should probably be in church, but they're not here. And maybe, as I say, maybe it's even somebody that you find it's easy to judge them. Maybe they've judged you, right? And you don't want to rejoice if they come back. But this is very clear. This is what the Father's looking for. Moses does it. Moses does it. The Pharisees don't. Why are the Pharisees unable to rejoice? Well, the older brother, with whom Jesus is comparing the Pharisees, the older brother doesn't live like a son. He actually never calls the father, father. Even the prodigal son calls his dad father. He still knows he's a son. But the older brother, he says, nothing to the Father. He doesn't address him as Father or as anything. He just says, look, all these years I've served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat to enjoy with my friends. He says, I never disobeyed you. I've been serving you always. He doesn't see himself as a son. He sees himself as a servant. He doesn't understand the relationship that he has, well, at least that he's offered with the Father. And the Father's trying to tell him, look, you're my son. And everything that I have is yours. It's all yours. You don't have to treat yourself like you're one of my hired servants. You're my child. And for us who are in the church and have maybe served the Lord many years, and you might be able to say, look, Lord, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Compared to so-and-so, anyway. And look how you're blessing them. Why don't you bless me the way you bless so-and-so? You know she was away from the church for long enough. You know what she did, or he did, or whatever. And you now you're blessing them. That jealousy comes from not understanding what we've been given. We don't realize it. We don't have the faith sometimes, or remember sometimes, that what the Father is saying to each and every one of you here today is, you are my son, or you are my daughter, and all that I have is yours. You're going to receive the kingdom. I'm giving you the kingdom. You're an heir to a kingdom, to the kingdom of God. Now, we don't receive it all right now. You don't have every material blessing. You don't have every spiritual blessing. Maybe you're not experiencing every spiritual blessing right now. Sometimes the Lord is waiting for us to desire those blessings more and to ask for them, or waiting for us in some way to be prepared to receive them. But he's giving us everything. I mean, ultimately, we receive that in heaven. If you believe that when you die, you are going to receive God's kingdom, that you're an heir to all that he has, it's impossible to be jealous. It's impossible not to rejoice when somebody else comes to receive that same blessing. No matter how bad they were or how bad they were to you, it's impossible, because if you actually really believe that, your heart is filled with so much gratitude and so much joy at what you're receiving that you just want anyone else to share it as well. It doesn't diminish your rejoicing when they receive the same gift. There are a lot of parables about this. In fact, one of the great joys of heaven will be that you will be able to see the other people in heaven whose lives you impacted, who you helped to get to heaven. You're going to see that in a way that we can't see it now. And that is going to be a cause for great joy. One of the reasons why the older brother isn't rejoicing, first of all, he's got this resentment, like he doesn't have this faith as being a son. He has this resentment at his younger brother. He hasn't really been part of bringing his younger brother back. Well, we are called to do that. And each and every one of us, we have different gifts. We have different abilities, different relationships in our lives where God is calling us to serve. And we have the ministry fair after Mass. I would really encourage you to think about that and consider the great joy that you will experience through serving and helping to bring that prodigal back, through having a heart of intercession or a heart of service, and joining in one of the many ministries of this parish to help bring people back to the feast. And I mean, like, to the Eucharist right here. And to rejoice, not just because our brother or our sister has returned, but also maybe because you might have had something to do with them returning. That's the heart that the Father is desiring to instill in each and every one of us. Ultimately, that's fulfilled in heaven. But if we really believe what we say we believe about being his sons and daughters, if we have faith in that, it's going to lead us to gratitude, and that's going to lead us into service, and is saying, how can I participate with the Father in the mission of the church here at St. Mary? How can I serve here at St. Mary and help participate with the Father in drawing his sons and daughters back into his house?